Nancy Lee DeMoss remembers a dramatic evening.
At True Woman 12 in the Indiana Convention Center, an unexpected moment came when Priscilla Shire got up to speak.
I hope that this weekend you did not just bring your cup. I hope you brought your cup and your saucer, because he's filling us up to overflowing today, isn't he? And let me tell you something. If there is any overflow, I don't know about you guys, but I want to catch all of it. Anybody with me?
Here's what Johnny Erickson Tata remembers about that night.
A Niagara Falls of rain crashed down on the roof of the Indianapolis Convention Center. It was thunderous. At the same moment, this woman did not skip a beat.
No matter how big the crowd gets, no matter how loud the rain falls, no matter how much chaos is going on all around you, you need to know that he sees you, that he cares about you, that the details of your life are not lost on him.
And I prayed even as she spoke above the roar, "Oh God, bring us all showers of blessing.
Let it fall in here, Lord. Let it fall in here."
Now here's what we do expect at True Woman 14. We'll hear from Johnny Erickson Tata and Janet Parshall and Keith and Kristen Getty, who've all been with us before. And then this year we'll also be joined by some new guests, including spoken word artist Blair Lynn, speaker, author, and blogger Angie Smith, and Lauren Chandler. You've perhaps heard her husband Matt Chandler preach from Dallas, and others who will be joining us for that weekend. But most importantly, we're asking the Lord to come and do a great work in all of our hearts. So I'm hoping that you'll plan to join us and bring a group of women with you from your church or your community. True Woman is coming to Indianapolis October 9th through 11th. You can still get the early registration discount when you sign up before May 1st. Get all the details at reviveourhearts.com.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. Yesterday, we heard part one of a conversation between Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian. They co-authored a study workbook called True Woman 101, Divine Design. Chapter 7 of that book contrasts outward beauty with inward beauty. They talked yesterday about true beauty with their friends Karen Loritz, Aaron Davis, and Holly Eliff. Yesterday, they discussed 1 Peter chapter 3, which says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Now, let's pick back up on that conversation.
I remember as a younger Christian woman particularly thinking, I'd see these women who were very just quiet, reserved personalities and seemed very godly to me, and just thinking, if I am ever going to be a godly woman, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a personality transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Because
a brain transplant,
that's
or
not
something.
How I'm sure. wired. But really, we're not talking about personality.
No, because that would be contrary to Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we know that God built us as we are. He tells us that.
He loves
that. He fashioned us and designed us and planted us at birth the way that he wanted us to be. So,
sure, he created our inmost parts.
Exactly.
Including the core.
The volume of your voice or the personality
that
he put in you.
That's right.
So it's not a bad thing. But it's also something that God wants to grow us into. As Philippians says, let your manner of life bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. So it's about understanding who mm-hmm. you are, but then seeing that under God's direction and provision in your life. And when that happens, then that those parts of us, my husband calls me spunky.
That's a nice word.
Those parts of us that maybe wouldn't fit perfectly with the gentle word here become more like Christ as we more and more, and it is a process that's lifelong.
But I think that we
allow
him
to do that.
I wouldn't want women to think that as we become godly, we all turn into
cookie cutter,
and we all turn into the same personality. And that's such a misconception,
right?
Because people are thinking, oh, I need to be gentle and quiet.
Well, I think there's some other great words that we can use, and the Lord doesn't need the Aaron Davis translation, so I'm not trying to change what's here, but there are other receptiveness, responsiveness. There's a version of gentle, and then there's a way of being gentle with others and being gentle in relationships and gentle in communication that is not like, oh, handle her with care, be so gentle with her, but being gentle with others. So maybe there's some other words that we can use to describe
words,
it.
Because the word quietness there really means an absence of turmoil,
right?
You know,
and
that
it's a spirit term. It's not like, necessarily a volume term.
Exactly. It's like sitting at Nancy's house the other day, and Nancy, you have that beautiful river running, you know, by your house, and that river had not a ripple on it. You know how it gets in the evening sometimes when it's like glass, just this peaceability about it. So that's kind of the quietness, the calmness.
As opposed to a churning.
As opposed to like
easily riled up.
Yeah, riled up, agitated. Mm. And so I think you can be a very exuberant woman, and you can be a very boisterous woman, and you can have a lot of fun as a woman. You can be an extrovert, and you can still have that spirit about you where you're not churned up, agitated, where you have that peaceability of spirit.
Okay, my quiet friend here is trying to get a word out of
it. I was trying to practice gentleness, but I was thinking there is a difference, like when I sat under Mrs. Bourne or Mrs. Ponder, the ladies that really mentored and discipled me through the years, that you can see that their gentleness, their quietness, even with their various different kinds of personalities, it was controlled. They were under the control of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the way it came out in the individual temperaments, it still had that quietness, and you embraced that and you accepted it because it was spirit controlled instead of person controlled.
You still saw Jesus.
You saw Jesus. And even Mrs. Ponder, who was this one, she was completely different than Mrs. Bourne. She would just, you know, nail me and just da-da-da-da, but she was controlled by the Holy Spirit, and she had that gentleness. And you could tell when she got into groups, especially with men or with other women, you can see when the Spirit of God was taking control of her and, you know, where God was in the room.
Well, you're making a good point here, because sometimes I'll do a lesson like this or get to a passage like this, and I'll come away saying, I am going to be a gentle and quiet-spirited woman if it kills me. You know, and it may. So it's not something we can... This is a work of grace and a work of the Spirit in our hearts. This is not, you know, I'm going to be godly. We start by saying, I'm not godly, okay?
Yeah.
It's not a self-improvement plan.
Sure.
You know, it's Christ in me.
The gentleness part. I love the image of gentleness, because elsewhere in Scripture it uses the same word as a mother dealing with a fussy child. Mm-hmm. That same sort of an attitude. So you're putting up with other people's fuss, and you're putting up with other people's stuff without getting ruffled over it.
That's
really what gentleness is.
Sometimes it's also translated meekness, and we have so many misconceptions of that word. You hate to throw it in there, but the essence of meekness is yielding rights, not demanding rights. And so this whole angry, strident,
it's so
under
strong.
Right.
Such strength in there.
But it's not, the person who has a gentle and quiet spirit doesn't have to be angry or fearful because they're relinquishing control to the Spirit of God. Realizing that I don't have to control circumstances. I don't have to hyperventilate when they are not to my liking.
Sure,
exactly.
The mother-child imagery really helps this to be understood. I mean, there's a woman of a toddler is a strong woman. She's rarely a quiet woman.
Is this a testimony here?
Yes, I have two very small children. And if they're throwing a hissy fit, you throw a hissy fit right back at them, and that thing's just going to escalate. Things are going to get nasty. But you can approach them with a gentleness that can calm that situation. And dads have a very different way, but a gentle mother in the face of a child in any situation is a real unique version of womanhood. So I think that imagery of mother and child is really good.
I had this really interesting situation when my oldest daughter walked into her womanhood, you know, and so she would come into the dinner table and would just be snippy and snappy and just kind of nasty. And you know what? I had to take her out later on and have her talk to her. I says, you are a believer. You are a follower of Jesus.
Right.
And just because it's your time during the month, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit takes a vacation. You have got the Lord. To look at your calendar and gear yourself up knowing that that time is going to come. And you have to be gracious. Mm-hmm. You have to watch your mouth. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to take over. Otherwise, hormones, they're not going to heaven.
That's right.
We can't give them a pass. We can't give our girls a pass on that,
that's
right?
A good thing.
We really
and
can't
how
give
did
them
it go the next month?
Well, oh, well, you know, it got better.
It took a while.
It got better, but, you know, we just had, I wasn't going to let it have a pass on
sure.
that, you know, that the Holy Spirit takes a break that time.
Well, I remember talking with Stacy Smith, who runs a prison, a women's prison ministry, and they literally just walk those women through the word, and it's a small band of prisoners who are women prisoners who are able to go through that program. But it's phenomenal what they teach those women. But one of the first things they teach those women is that as women, we cannot be driven by our emotions. Mm-hmm. We must be driven by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Being strong in us and governing every word and every thought and every deed. And so that's their foundational, that's where they start. Because without that understanding, God can't accomplish everything else he wants to do.
Here's a lesson I'm just now learning, which is that feelings aren't facts. They're just feelings.
That's right.
Now, gentleness is a choice. I may feel something inside, but gentleness is a chosen behavior. Quietness is a chosen behavior.
And
but
in those
feelings
moments,
are just
when your
feelings.
2-year-old is going crazy,
yes,
it's a hard choice.
I have a few of those. It sure
it's
is.
It's a hard choice
Absolutely.
Sometimes. Or
Absolutely.
The husband
Kay,
or
did,
the boyfriend.
You women always, I mean, I think I know the answer to this question, but I just want to hear you respond. Did you always, since you knew the Lord, just desire to be gentle, quiet, and amenable?
No.
Did you always think of this as an attractive quality? Because we're talking about true beauty here. Or how did you come to, how are you coming to see it as something attractive and valuable?
It is an ongoing process for me. Every time God drops something new into my life, it is a moment of surrender to still keep a quiet heart.
But what makes you want that?
Or a gentle spirit.
What makes that attractive?
Well, now what makes that attractive to me is that I have seen what happens when I don't make that choice.
It ain't pretty.
No, it's not pretty. And I know the difference it makes in my relationships with my children and with my husband and with what God is calling me to teach other women. And so I know now that I cannot look like Christ if I don't make choices that allow his spirit to be in control. If I'm in control, the result is not what we see in this passage, and I know that now. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't have to still go back and make those choices to surrender to that, because when, for instance, when on the day of my daughter's wedding, I found out that my dad had gone into intensive care, and my mom, who had Alzheimer's, who was there for the wedding, could not go home to Nashville and was with us and has never left. That was 5 years ago. I have to tell you that that first year that Mother was with us, I wrestled with the Lord and with maintaining a quiet heart and a gentle spirit, because it was unexpected and it was tough and it wasn't on my calendar at all.
Right. Yeah.
And so God does that. He drops things. Yeah. Karen, I know you've had things like that in your life where God drops things into your life that you're not ready for.
Yeah. You know? And I think what makes it attractive for me is Jesus.
Right.
Makes it attractive. But I think it is a continual process of reminding myself and always looking at the big picture and reminding myself constantly, asking myself the hard questions, and am I truly valuing what Christ values? Am I loving what God loves? Am I cultivating what's precious to him? And trying to
and
kind of separate
it.
And pursuing it.
Yeah.
But boy.
And how do you pursue it? Let's just talk here about, because it is a process, it's a journey, as is all of sanctification.
And I think it's lifelong.
How do you cultivate? It is lifelong till we see Jesus.
Right.
So what are some practical ways this kind of spirit can be cultivated?
I know for me, when we were in various ministries and we transferred from one ministry in Texas to another ministry in Georgia, and I knew that new city. I didn't do very well. You know, I'm a nester, and transition and all that was really kind of bothersome to me. And we had two little children. I knew that I needed to find a home church. And also some godly women that would be my prayer shield, that would, you know, step up and help me to be the woman that I needed to be, because I didn't have that growing up. All my role models were back in Pennsylvania. I was living down in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So God sent me two incredibly godly women in our church that I gave them permission just to build into my life. Mm-hmm. And they modeled all the things that I wanted to be. And so they were the visible model where I wanted to be, because I didn't have that in my mother. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that in my family. And they became, they would call me up and... Yeah, go get your Bible. Or, you know, I may have looked at my husband a certain way. They would nail me on it. Mm.
Yeah. Well, those godly role models are huge.
They're massive.
But then you also said another one, go get your Bible.
Go get your Bible. Mm-hmm. Right. She took me to the Bible, and I would write the date when Mrs. P would say that to me, and I could always go back when I was mad after she talked to me, you know. I'm going to do it my way. I'd go back to the scripture, and the quietness of the evening, the Holy Spirit work on me, I would look. But it were those things, and then they prayed for me. They prayed for me when I didn't want to pray, when I was mad and upset and bitter. They prayed for me. They prayed me out of a lot of stuff, because God was probably ready to get me. Mm. But having those people in your life, you know, giving them permission to speak truth into you, and then having the guts and the courage to say, God, I'm going to do it your way, because I need to have joy. I'm not happy right now, but I need to have joy. And when I lay down at night, I need to be at peace with you and with myself.
Mm. Right.
You know?
I did something very brave, and that is to pray and ask God to increase the sensitivity of my conscience and ask the Holy Spirit to give me an elbow in the ribs when he saw that happening in my life.
That you weren't
that I didn't have a good spirit. And let me tell you, I don't know how many times I've just been conscience stricken. And so just through that process of realizing how far I have to go, and how much sin rears its ugly head, and having God convict me, and then having to repent for it, like it really isn't fun when you have to say, I'm so sorry. I've had a very clamorous attitude here, and I need to ask your forgiveness. So you just need to go, you know, blow it a few times like that, have God convict you, and but I found that to be very helpful, just because God says if there's stuff that he wants us to have, that we need to ask for it. And so if we ask him for it and ask him to make us sensitive to it, we're going to start seeing more of that coming out of our life.
Well, and it's a good gift. I mean, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is a good gift that God gives us so that we can go to his word and understand it. And he can interpret it to us. As women are praying for us, we suddenly have ears to hear and eyes to see what might not have made sense to us 6 months before.
That's right.
But when God brings the truth, if you know, those people lifting our arms often help us be able to apply it to our life.
And I think we can't underestimate the power of the word, the power of the truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Jesus prayed, your word is truth. And I just see so many, if we're pumping the world's models and spirit wholesale into our minds through the entertainment, the people we're around, the things we're reading, that's the attitude we're going to develop. You become like the people you spend time around. You want to be like Jesus. You got to spend time around him, the living word, in his written word. And I'm thinking in that verse in 2 Corinthians 3, that verse 18, I think it says, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Where do you see it? Here. We are transformed. I love that word.
From glory to glory. I love that.
Transformed into the same image.
Yeah.
From glory,
glory to glory.
There is that process there. There's that progression. But you spend time in God's presence, in his word. And I can't tell you how often when I am feeling catty or all that churn is going on inside of me, it's amazing when I get into the word and I meditate on it and I behold Christ and I get my mind renewed by his word. He changes me, because I hate being obstreperous and all those other. I don't want to be that way.
Obstreperous.
Yeah, it's contentious, obnoxious, loud. You know, it's. I still feel the frustration of this is. Oh Lord, why am I acting this way? Mm-hmm. Why? And again, it's not necessarily loudness. It's spirit. It's comes. You know, yeah, and I say, Lord, change me. And His Word does that.
It's a great point. But I would just say to young women, maybe before we can get to that point of more time in the Word, there's some things we have to cut out of our current time.
Right.
And there's some influences that need a radical amputation. And this notion that you can swim in the waters with worldly beauty, that you can be as wrapped up in that as everyone else, that you can love the things of this world and not have it impact your thoughts on beauty is a bold-faced lie. Yeah. And so as a young woman, or as any woman, but I see this more in younger women, we don't make wise choices as far as our media about what we intake about beauty messages, and then we get all tangled up about true beauty. So there needs to be some choices made. I'm going to read the word more, but I'm going to read this, watch this, listen to this a whole lot less.
But I also think, Erin, that those of us that are in the body of the Christ that may be a little older and we see some of these young women, we need to help.
Absolutely.
Go down and help them, because like I didn't know a thing.
Can I just tell you what young women don't have the words to tell you? They want you to speak truth into their lives. They don't know how to ask you. They think you don't have time.
Yeah, don't have time.
They say so often to me, I know you're busy, but I'm like, I'm not too busy. Let's talk about it. So they don't know how to ask you, but they are so drowning in this issue of beauty, true beauty, identity, who am I? And they don't know how to ask you. And so find a younger woman and make this your goal to learn true beauty together. She wants to know.
That's right.
Okay, we're unfortunately out of time on this discussion, but I want to take it back to one more scripture. Young, old, just the contrast here between the world system of beauty and God's system. Mm-hmm. You know the verse, but we need it again and again. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty, physical beauty, is vain. Beauty is not sinful, but it just isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Right.
It's deceitful and vain. It makes you think that you have everything when you may have that and have nothing if you don't have an inner heart that's beautiful. But here's the contrast. A woman who fears the Lord, a woman who has reverence for God, a woman who has her bent, her inclination is toward God, her priority is on God's priorities for her life. That woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And then it goes on and talks about the reward. We want that reward.
Right.
And that means a life, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean we start to look dowdy or frumpy or, you know, don't care about. That's another
poof
extreme.
Poof powder.
poof powder. But, you know, the goal is not to be unkept or ugly. Taking care of ourselves and a wife or a husband, those are good things. But the ultimate true beauty of the true woman comes from a heart that fears the Lord and a heart that says, Lord, I trust you. I'm willing to let you be sovereign over my life and my circumstances, and I'm going to be amenable by your grace. I'll say, yes, Lord.
We've been hearing from Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian, co-authors of the workbook True Woman 101, Divine Design. They were joined by their friends Erin Davis, Holly Eliff, and Karen Laritz in that conversation about Chapter 7 of the book. That chapter contrasts the world's definition of beauty with a biblical definition of inward, true beauty. It's just one of the practical topics you'll cover when you go through this workbook. We'd like to send you a copy as our way of saying thanks for supporting Revive Our Hearts. Then you can go through the study by yourself or check it out for your women's small group. You can donate by visiting reviveourhearts.com or ask for it when you make your donation today, April 29th, by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You can ask how to order more copies for your small group as well. Tomorrow, we'll continue hearing from Mary Cassian. She'll describe some of the roots of feminism and show how feminist influence continues to affect women in the church today. She'll describe one of the 20th century's big isms. Do you know what I mean by ism? Like communism, socialism, capitalism, consumerism. She'll talk about another ism and its effect on you. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.